It has been a great privilege for me last year to meet our dear brother, your pastor, Dr. Randall. He was a real blessing to us in Poland. And it is a real joy and excitement for me to be able to be a part of your family. Thank you so much for inviting me. And also I would like to pass the greetings from our church and from Polish believers to you. As you know, I come from Poland. I was born in Poland and I speak Polish. And it is why I am Polak. I was born in Auschwitz. This is the place where concentration camp was. And during last war, 4 million people were exterminated there by Nazis. Not too far from this place was born another Polish man, the present Pope. Also he speaks Polish, but we don't preach the same gospel. He tells people that we must be saved by good works. Poland is a country of Catholics, a country of idolatry. When Pope, the present Pope, comes to visit different countries, he does something very strange, which I don't. The first thing, when he comes to the country, when he came here to the United States, he did something like that. He stepped down from the airplane and he knelt down and he kissed your American ground. I don't do that. I'm sorry. I prefer to kiss my wife. And you, but he doesn't have a wife. I'm sorry, this is his problem. But we didn't come to solve his problems here. We want to know what the Lord is doing in our lives and how great he is and how it is wonderful to live under his grace. My grandma was converted during the Catholic Mass in the Catholic Church. It was the most strange place to come to know the Lord. But during the Mass, she heard something from God's Word, and it was enough to break her heart. And then it was her last stay in the Catholic Church. After she came to know the Lord, she came to conclusion that she shouldn't remain in the Catholic Church, and she began to look for a Bible-believing church. And she's found one, she joined to this church, and then later my parents got converted, and I had a privilege of being born into a Christian family. But I was not happy about that. When I was about 15 years of age, I became a communist. I was so attracted by communist teaching of being all people equal that I became a follower of Mr. Marx and Mr. Lenin. I loved them so much. They didn't care of me at all. They didn't know me even. They were dead. Dead gods of mine. And I was following them. And I was so devout to their teachings. I remember one night I came back home and I heard my mother praying to God. She said something like that. Oh Lord, do something with my son. I love him so much. You love him so much. You died for him, and Lord, do something with him. And I heard her speaking to God like that. It made me so nervous, so mad, that I came into her room and began to shout, Mother, stop praying for me. I will never be a Christian. I want to be a communist. Don't disturb my career. Another day, my father has declared to our family that he was going to move the gathering of Christians into our house. I said, never. I will not allow it for Christians to meet in my room even. And then, as you know, sometimes Polish people think. And I began to think as well. And then as a result of my thinking, I have produced a little bomb. Don't be afraid, I didn't bring the bomb with me. And then I made it to explode in the time of meeting. Can you imagine the Christian meeting? They worship the Lord, and then the bomb has exploded, made by a young communist. The smoke was everywhere, the windows were disappeared. It was a terrible thing. In fact, I wanted to disturb the meetings, but I could kill them. Praise God that I didn't. But you see, the Christians are impossible people. I hated them, and by producing my bomb and exploding that, the only thing I have reached was they began to pray for me. Really, they pray for me. You hate them, they love you. You persecute them, they bless you. Christians are impossible. You can't conquer real Christians, and I couldn't do it either. It was impossible. And then, after some time, I have been invited to go to the first Christian camp in Poland, which was organized in Gdańsk. It was about 400 miles from my place, and I went there. Can you imagine a communist? Then I was already a leader of the communist organization in our high school, and I came to the Christian camp. Everything was so boring for me. And after 2 days, I thought something like that. No, I made a mistake. I shouldn't come here. It seemed to me that I should go to the train station and I should buy a ticket and go home. Because at home, I had only one mother praying for me. But here, everybody prayed for me. At home, I had only one father preaching to me. But here, all of them were preachers. And they were showing me the Bible and the Bible verses. I was not interested in Christian stuff. And then but I couldn't go. Somehow I wanted to remain there and I wanted to go. But I remained and I praise God for that. And in the middle of this camp, they have organized a gospel meeting. And the gospel was being preached in the power of the Spirit. Really, it moved many people. But I was still cold. I didn't like to follow the law. I wanted to fight against Christians. I wanted the Christians to convert into communism. Even one day I could think to come to America to bring you our communism. Praise God that my idea of communism has collapsed. And today I am even more happy to tell you that the communism in our part of the world has collapsed. After 70 years of doing experiments, the people there came to conclusion that it does not work. And praise God for that. But it took 70 long years. In Poland, 45 years. And now the government, our government, is wholly anti-communist. Our president, when he speaks in television or radio, he is always so strongly anti-communist. Always he speaks anti. And today I have the privilege of coming to you not in the name of communism, but in the name of the Lord Jesus as his follower. But coming to this meeting, gospel meeting, after this meeting, the young preacher was telling us about two roads of life. One is very wide without Jesus. And another one, it's not so attractive. Not too many people there. But it's a road for him. And much joy is there. And the end is wonderful life with Jesus forever. And I began to think, if the Bible is true, if whatever Christians say is true, it would be good to become one. But then there was a struggle in me. Satan was telling Czesław, you are a communist leader of the organization. Don't follow Christ, because you may lose all your friends. You are lost. Your future, your reputation, your career is finished. Yes, I knew that. And I kept it in my mind. No, I can't be a Christian. And then the invitation came. In the end, the invitation to go to the little upper room. And I went there too, but not to be safe, not to pray with them, but just to watch them. What do they do with these young people? How they make people Christians? Because my idea was that maybe one day I could use their methods to make people communist. Polak. And then when I was there and I saw them opening for the Lord, how they pray to the Lord, I said, no, their methods are good for nothing for me. Just I am wasting time here. But then became a silence, a nervous silence. We came to pray, but nobody wanted to pray anymore. Maybe there were more people like me there. And then maybe the silence lasted for half an hour. And the Lord has spoken to me in this silence. It seemed to me that the Lord was speaking like that. Joshua, this is your time, and it will never be given again. And then I opened my mouth and my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus. What a joy came down. Forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus became my Savior and my Lord. I knew I was saved. I was set free by Him. And then the first reaction in me was that. You see, as a communist, I never wrote letters to my parents. But just we have finished, we prayed, I went to my room and I took a pen and a piece of paper and I wrote my first letter to my parents. My parents never were receiving letters from me because I was hating them. I wanted to change my parents even, but now a young ex-communist was writing a letter. Beloved mom, thank you for praying for me. Beloved dad, thank you for preaching to me. And also, I would like to let you know that I will never come back home because I don't live anymore. The Lord Jesus lives in me. You have a new son. See you next week. After 1 week, I came back home, and everything has changed at home. The parents have changed. They were the most terrible people in the world for me, and now they were angels. The Lord has changed our home completely. How wonderful it is to be saved. In fact, the Lord began to change me. And after 1 month, I was able to be baptized in the river just 200 yards from the concentration camp in Auschwitz, where 4 million people died. I wanted to be baptized to show to my communist friends, I don't belong to you anymore. I don't belong to Lenin anymore. I don't follow the teachings of Mr. Marx anymore. From now on, I belong to my master, and my master is Jesus Christ. I lost my career. I lost my communist future, but praise God for that. Because my communist friends did everything to show that they were right. But today, I must tell you, none of them is communist anymore. They have changed also. Praise God that I was able to do it for Jesus' sake. Not because I had to do it, but because the Lord Jesus loved me so much. And because of His love, I had no other choice. How wonderful. After another 2 weeks after my baptism, the elders of our church, small church, which was still meeting in our house, how I was thankful for that I did not destroy our house. And they were meeting in our house, and they came to me and they said, Joshua, would you consider to teach the children in our Sunday school?
Yes.
Yes, I want. Okay. But oh, it was a very courageous thing to do, because I knew no Bible then. I knew only one Bible verse in Polish. It was John 3:16. Albowiem tak Bóg światu miłował, że Syna swego jednorodzonego dał, etc. And it was all. And also I knew another thing. It was one Christian song. But anyway, I became a Sunday school teacher. I knew nothing about child evangelism fellowship. Nothing. I knew nothing about how to prepare a Bible lesson. Nothing. But I was a Sunday school teacher. 6 weeks ago, I was a communist. And now, I was ready to teach children. Can you imagine? Again, Polak. And I have written my own lesson, 16 pages, and memorized that. It was my idea how I should be ready to teach children. And my mother checked my lesson, she made some changes, and then I was ready. The Sunday came, when the children were to come, and they came, 12 of them. And they were sitting like you sit, and they were looking at me, new teacher, and I was looking at them, and I have forgotten everything what to say. Almost I pray, oh Lord, this is my first Bible lesson and the last one. I will never be a teacher. No, I can't teach children. I would prefer to have a hole for me. And if the Lord would put me there, instead of standing in front of the children without knowing what to tell them, red, trembling, oh Lord, it's impossible for me. It showed me that I should be prepared better, that I shouldn't go to the ministry without preparation. But then, when the children were looking at me, I got an idea. You have forgotten that, it's okay, no problem, but tell them what happened to you. Tell them who is your new boss. Jesus Christ. Oh yes, good idea. And I began telling them about the Lord Jesus, what changes he has made in my life. And they began to listen like that. Polish children can concentrate very well. And they were listening with their ears and with their mouth like that. Huh? How wonderful. I had a real trouble after 1 hour to get them go home. They didn't like to go home, but I didn't know how to do it. After 4 years, the Lord has sent the first missionaries of Child Evangelism Fellowship to train us how to evangelize boys and girls. And it was organized in the little Baptist church in Kraków, the old capital of Poland. And I was invited to go there. I was sitting in the first row and taking everything like a sponge. How thankful we are that you, people from America, sent missionaries to Poland. It was so difficult time then. I don't know how they brought the materials. The borders were so difficult. The guards were everywhere, communists everywhere. And they came to teach us. How blessed we were. And they kept coming every year for 22 years. Today, I must tell you, you can come openly. You can come and you can tell the government, I come to preach the gospel. Yes, good. We can go to the printing shop and we can print tracts as many as we want. We have no censorship. We have no secret police in Poland. Now Poland is as free as America to preach the gospel. We can go on the streets and we can meet people there. We can distribute tracts. If I have 1,000 tracts, I can distribute them in one day. No problem about that. People are hungry. They want to hear about the gospel. Especially boys and girls are hungry. The Lord has a sense of humor, dear brothers and sisters. You see, after I was able to finish my education and I became a... I don't know what I became... At least I wanted to be a tool of the Lord to do the work of Him. I was praying together with my wife, Lord, what we are to invest our life in? And the Lord has sent us to the church which did not exist.
Yeah.
And in the church in the city, which was to be a communist city, 250,000 people without mention of God. The communists wanted to build a city without God. Ungodly city. And the Lord has sent me and my wife, me, ex-communist, you will be working among communists.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, but there are not people. There is no church there. Nobody was witnessing there.
Right?
It's the reason. Okay. And we went there. It was 9 years ago. And the Lord began to bless. There were many closed doors, but also there were many open doors, open hearts, especially of boys and girls. And in 2 years, the Lord gave us 200 people in the communist city. The people always need, in all situations, they need Christ. And it was wonderful to see them under the influence of God's word. Alcoholics came. Sometimes they were drunk, and they were listening to the gospel. Drug addicts came, and they were listening to the gospel. After 1 year, we came to conclusion that we should do an open work on the streets. But to do it in the communist country, it's not so easy. But after praying for 3 months, the local church has sent me to see a communist mayor to ask him for permission. Some Christians in other churches said that you must be a little bit fanatic to ask a communist leader to give you a permission to distribute Bibles. It must be naive. Maybe we were naive, but it's okay to be naive. It's better to be naive and obedient to the Lord than be wise and disobedient. And then the church has sent me to see a man. Oh, when I saw him, big man, in big office, I have forgotten my tongue. What to say? He asked me, what did you come for? I came here because I represent a small group of Christians in our city, and we would like to help you. Help me? How you can help me? You are Christians, I'm a communist. There are so many alcoholics in our city, and we would like to work among them. And also there are drug addicts. And you want to work among them? The most difficult people? Yes, we would like. And we already began to work. And we see some fruits of that. Oh, tell me about that. Okay. And I was telling him stories about the lives being changed. And he was listening for 2 hours. But he said, but tell me how you can help me. Oh, can you change these people? No, we can't. But we know the Bible, the book, which is the Bible. And the Bible is going to change them. But what do you want me to do for you? We want to have your permission to do it. Ah, now I know. But you see, can you imagine me giving you a permission to distribute Bibles? Me, communist? I may lose my office. Oh, I don't want to lose your office, but we want to have our permission. No, it's impossible, he said. But let's try. Wait, I will do something. I will try to do something. And then, can you imagine, in 2 days' time, he called me again. And when I came into his office, I saw a paper ready for me. And it was written, permission. It is permitted to this and that group of Christians to distribute Bibles wherever they want in our city. I couldn't believe it. It was signed by the communist mayor. And next day, we went on the streets with the suitcases of Bibles. And then we were so happy to be able to distribute, to talk to the people. See, it was in the time where in Poland we had lines for everything. If you wanted to buy a bread, you had to wait in the line for 2-3 hours. If you wanted a meat, sometimes you had to wait 6 hours or 7 hours. you had to go there in the night in order to be able to buy something about noon or something like that. And our lines to get a Bible were the longest. But the first reaction came from the Catholic priests. From the surrounding area, they told the people not to come to us and not to buy Bibles. But you see, if the Lord opens the door, He makes Catholic priests to help you too. Because with Polish people it goes like that. If you want them to do something, just tell them not to do that. How we were praising God for Catholic priests. Really? Because after they told people not to buy Bibles, we had twice or three times more people coming. Praise God for that. I remember one old lady. She was about 80. She was standing in the lane to get a Bible. And then finally she came to the table. And then, "Now," she said, "I have a Bible." She kissed the Bible and she said, "Now I can die." Can you imagine? And the tears were in her eyes. What a thrilling thing was to start this work. We had many difficulties, but for these years we were able to present the gospel to many people, especially to boys and girls. May I present to you some of the... May I present to you some of the tracts we distribute in Eastern Europe. This tract is for the people in Mongolia, the first Christian tract in Mongolian language. Another tract we have in Albanian language. Albania is still closed for the gospel. It's a most communist country in the world. But we have 50,000 tracts and we are ready to go there and preach the gospel. We have tracts in Russian language, Czech language, Hungarian, German, Polish. By the way, this tract in Polish has been translated by my son. He is a real American. 2 years ago we were to visit our German friends in Western Germany. And I gave him 20 Deutschmarks as a pocket money. It was a lot of money for him. And he disappeared for 1 hour. And he came back and he had bought an American flag for 20 Deutschmarks. And it is why I say, you have one citizen of yourself in my home. A year ago, we had a privilege of being inviting to do the work on the full-time basis in Child Evangelism Fellowship to lead the work in Eastern Bloc countries. Today we don't call it Eastern Bloc countries because Eastern Bloc has collapsed. Today Poland is free, the other countries are free, but still communism is in mind of people. Still there are children who have never heard the gospel. Our first reaction to the invitation of Sam Doherty, who is a leader of our work in Europe, was no. "Dear brother, we love you, we appreciate your ministry in our country, but we can't say yes." But after we told that, we began to think, my wife Helen and myself, what did we answer? Once the Lord has sent us to the communist city and He has established the church, and there were some churches being established as sister churches, and now you are invited to go to other countries to do the ministry and you answered no, you are going to be disobedient to me. No, no Lord, rather we will change our mind. And we did it. And now we are in process of preparation to leave Poland and to live in Austria to lead the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship in post-communist Europe. There are 110 million boys and girls waiting for somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray for us? We don't want to go just to see new countries. We don't want to go if the Lord doesn't send us. We don't want to go if you don't pray. And I believe, I hope, you would like to be a part of our ministry by your prayers. And I would like to say thank you so much. Now I would like to share shortly from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. What I have learned from this passage, I would like to pass to you. It's very precious to me. And there will be three simple lessons for us from the Lord Jesus, who is the best teacher in the world. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, from the verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. There are many lessons in this passage of the Bible, but we are going to concentrate on three of them. Very simple, because our Lord, our teacher, is a simple teacher, in order that we could understand what he says. The first lesson we find in the verse 1. The people came to listen to the Lord Jesus. How wonderful. The principle number one is, if we are ready to listen, the Lord is ready to teach us. It means also, if we have no time for listening to the Lord, he has no time to teach us. The people didn't come for miracles here. They didn't come to see a prophet or somebody who made some tricks. No, they came to listen to God's word. They understood the principle number one. We want to be taught by the Lord. And in order to be taught by him, we must concentrate. We must listen. This is the first step. This is the first plan of God for me and you. We are to come under the influence of God's word. There is no other way that the Lord is able to teach us. The lesson number one is, if I want to be taught by the Lord, I must listen. It is why we say to boys and girls, listen, listen, the Lord is going to teach you. The lesson number one is, if I am ready to listen, the Lord is ready to teach me. How wonderful. But, you see, in my country there are people who finish, who are over with this first step. They sit down and they listen. And they listen. What are you doing? I'm listening. What are you doing? I'm listening. Wonderful. The world is so wonderful. Our pastor is so wonderful. I am listening. This is not the end of God's plan. This is just the very beginning. The Lord starts to do something with us from listening, from His teaching. Then we should not forget that we should go further. The lesson number 2 we find in the verses from 2 until 7. You see, I am a children's worker and Polak, and I need imagination, and I have imagination, I believe, and I can imagine what the Lord was doing with Peter. The Lord had a special plan for Peter, as well as He has a special plan for all of us, and He organizes everything. The Lord is a very good organizer. He doesn't make chaos. He organized also the fishing of Peter. I assume, my imagination says that it was like that. Don't look for that in Bible. This is my imagination, my Polish imagination. Then that the Lord Jesus, before Peter went to fish, I think he called, imagination comes. He calls to the captain of the fishers from the lake of Gennesaret, "Come to me." And he was so busy, and he came. "Yes, I am. Lord, what you want me to do?" Listen, now Peter, my follower, is going to fish. And please tell all fishers in the whole lake that they should go everywhere, but not to his net. Yes, I understand. Thank you, Lord. And he began to shout, "Fishers, go away. Don't be caught." And they were obedient. We read about the results. Peter was fishing, and then he looked into his net, and there was nothing. Oh, the fish were obedient. They were obedient. Praise God for that. And then the morning came, and the Lord began to speak to Peter. And then he said, Peter, try again. "Oh no, Lord, I can't do it." "Peter, better be obedient." "Oh Lord, what my companions would say? They would say that I became a fanatic of you. No, nobody does fishing during the day. Oh Lord, I can imagine the pressure, the tensions of being obedient to the Lord. Oh, it's so difficult sometimes. What other people would say of me?" No. Peter, do it. And then I think Peter said, "Lord, because you say that, because you say that, I will do it. But it's not what I think I should. But better do it." And I think the Lord has called the captain of fish again. "Come again." And he was so quick to come. "What, Lord? Again, I am to shout and tell the fish not to come to the..." No. My plan for today is different. Now it's a time for fishes to sleep. But tell them to awake and to go to the net of Peter. Because now Peter is going to fish, but it will not be for the glory of Peter. It will be for my glory. "Yes, I know, Lord." And then he was shouting again. It's my imagination, you must remember. And then, as a result of that, in the daytime, Peter was fishing, and he couldn't believe his eyes. He's never had so many fishes in his life. The Lord has done something. How it was wonderful that Peter was obedient. The lesson number 2, by the way, the lesson number 1, do you remember? Yes, I think I remember. The lesson number 1 was, if I am ready to listen, the Lord is ready to teach me. The lesson number 2 is, if I am ready to be obedient, the Lord is ready to reveal His power. Wonderful! The Lord has a power to speak to the captain of the fish. He has a power to change people. He has a power to change our lives. How wonderful! And the Lord had the power to change Peter, to show to the Peter that he is one who decides, not Peter. It was a very important thing for Peter to learn. And I think it's a very important thing for us to learn today, obedience. Sometimes you like to give something in order not to be obedient. I remember when we have been invited to start the work, we would do anything. But Lord, forgive us. Just leave us here. Don't send us somewhere. Don't make changes. How we don't like changes in our lives. How sometimes we think what other people would think. How they would accept our decisions if we follow what the Lord Jesus says. Peter did it. And he saw the greatness of God. And I think it's so important. The lesson number two is, if I am obedient, the Lord is showing his greatness. Sometimes by our superficial life, we don't show the greatness of the Lord. And this is a sin. And now we go to the third lesson. 1, 2, 3. The lesson number three is, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, Peter. What happened to you? You want the Lord to depart from you? Peter, what happened to you?" Don't blame Peter, because Peter saw not only greatness of God, but he saw his sinfulness. And it's wonderful. Peter, the Lord was not going to use Peter as he was. The Lord had to change Peter first. And then for the first time we read, Peter saw how wrong he was, how full of sin he was, and he was humble. And now the Lord, I can imagine the joy of our Lord. He almost saying, "Yes, now Peter is ready." Why? Because Peter came to the end of Peter. And the Lord only then said, "From now on, you will be a fisher of men." The lesson number three is, if we are ready to be humble, the Lord is ready to use us. If I am not ready to be humble, if I am full of myself, full of my ideas, my methods, the Lord is not going to use me. And it is why, lesson number one, I want to pray, "Oh Lord, teach me, I want to listen. Oh Lord, reveal your power to me. I want to be obedient to you. Oh Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, thank you for making me humble." The Lord didn't finish his work in our lives, but he promised to do that for his glory. It's a wonderful plan of God to change our lives, to teach us, to reveal his power, and to use us for his, not ours, glory. Thank you. Amen.